Uno.
He says there is a desire for peace because of understanding, because of wisdom, and there is a greed and attachment for peace. He says you will know whether it was a wholesome or unwholesome inclination when the peace is gone. And then what you feel. Wisdom is not perturbed if there's a loss of peace because wisdom already understands what it has to do if the conditions. But if there's greed and just attachment for peace, when the peace is lost, then the mind gets into it. He says, so there is a desiring for things because of chanda or wisdom, or because of lobha.
Many a yogi niya start yao to pure lobha. Peaceful wo jajam thay nai lo to doga yao.
There was a staff member who was talking about her practice and how she tries to practice, and she is happy with the peace that she gets when she meditates, but she was crying because it was very distressing that she had to go get out of that and attend to other things
in her life.
So if he, you know, if it wasn't pointed out to her that this was not wholesome, you know, sort of trying wholesome kind of motivation to have peace, and that there's strong attachment to peace, which is not skillful. That's what she would live with all the time, with this conflict of thinking. This is what she
wholesome state.
He says all these, you know, piti, pasadi, samadhi, and all these things are actually wholesome states. The problem is the attachment to the state.
He
says, so the reason why he emphasizes so much being recognizing the awareness and staying with the mind that's working, he says, because then the mind is free of the object. He says, when there is not this recognition of the awareness, the mind's automatic tendency is to go to the object. And once the mind is with the object, he says, what is knowing automatically reacts with liking or disliking.
Because liking and disliking are just
very quick habits of the mind.
စိတ်ရဲ့အလိုလိုမမြင်သူကချက်ချင်းဝင်လာသူကောင်းတယ်လို့ထင်တာနဲ့သူကဆွဲပြီ
He says that we don't see how the mind works. He says it's very quick. The mind thinks this is good, this is not good, and that
judge လာပြီးတာနဲ့ now attachment ရမ်းမြန
် After the judgment the attachment follows.
နောက်ဦးရင်ပြီးတယ်နှခေါင်းကောင်းလားပိုက်ကောင်းလားအာယုံအာယုံတော့ဒါတော့
That's why he asks whether you know the breath is better or the rising falling.
Which object is better?If you think something is good, you become attached to the object.
One of the, if I can just follow up a little, was I about done?
Yeah.
If I could follow up a little. As I've been practicing just over these 2 days with the instructions that I heard on the tape, what I notice when I turn the attention to the mind and whether there's right attitude is almost a physical stepping back from an engagement that kind of brings equanimity.Is that a common experience?
Tu a di nay ma u sin pyo rae paw sa ne tu a thuk ko chu sa a blo phit le so sait ko pyan chi le the water six series lo khan sa yin blo khan sa le so lu yi ya wo a naw ko sou lai pyo rae a lo phit ne le ha a ni
khwe thaw ga
kwa wa do upatha shi le tabor le pa le ne a na phit da la
yes yes a yo ne ဖတ်ထုတ်လိုက်တာပဲညံပါလိုက်ဒီတော့ဖြစ်စီတယ်ဆိုညံပါညံဆိုဘယ်တော့မှတော့ဝင်မကပ်ဘူးဘေးရထွက်ချင်တယ
်
ညံပါလိုက်တော့လိုပဲခံစားရတယ်
When there's this checking for whether there's a right or wrong attitude that checking itself is an act of wisdom he says and when wisdom is there he said wisdom becomes uninvolved yeah
အဲကြောင့် focus တိတ်ညာအာယုံကို focus တိတ်လုပ်တဲ့လူကစိတ်ကိုမမြင်ရ
That's why he said people who focus too much don't see the mind
အောင်ဉာဏ်လည်းအနေနဲ့
This is then the wisdom is also weak.
စုံစမ်းတာတိချင်းနဲ့ဒီစိတ်ကစိတ်ကိုသူကစုံစမ်းတဲ့သူကမကြွားနေဘူးစိတ်ကိုသူကလိလာရမှာ။သူကစိတ်ကိုစစ်ဆေးရမယ်စစ်ဆေးတယ်ဆိုတဲ့သူကညံပါလာပြီ
။ That sense of investigation he says will be lacking. He says if we even check the mind that's a sense of investigation at work.
ညံငါစဉ်းစားနေသူအလုံးနှစ်ခုပြင်လို့လို့ညံဘာကြောင့်ခက်နေလဲလေ။လူတွေကလို့ရင်တော့ဒါဟောအရေးကြီးတယ်သူကလောဘနဲ့လှုပ်လို့လောဘနဲ့မ
ှလောလို့ရတ
ယ်လို့ထင်တယ်အနောက်မှာအဲ့စိတ်ကအနောက်ကတမင်တက်တက်ကိုကျင့်ရမှာ။ Yeah. တမင်တက်တက်ကိုကျင့်ရမှာဒီလောဘဖြစ်နေတာကိုစိတ်ကဘလို့အနောက်တိတိဘလို့ရှိအောင်နေရ။ဟုတ်
တ
ယ်။တမင်တက်တက်ကိုကျင့်ရမှာ
။ Yesterday we were getting a couple of his old students were asking him about you know practicing in daily life and they're engaged in many things in life that you have to do.And trying to integrate mindfulness into that. And they were talking about the difficulties that although they try and try, how when they have a lull or they're alone for a bit, you know, it's easy, the mindfulness seems to flood back, but when they're engaged in something that they, you know, like homework or studying or something, you know, it just takes their attention away. And he was thinking about it last night, and he said, it's because, and they had this question about whether they were two mutually exclusive activities.And of course it's not, but there's a difficulty in integrating it. And he said the reason that people forget so easily when they're involved in something, he says, is because it's the habit of the mind, when it thinks something is important, to get involved and do it with greed. Like greed to do it right or well or whatever. It's a subtle kind of greed that works there. And he says...To learn how to integrate mindfulness into that sort of situation, he said, the person has to purposefully or deliberately practice doing that. He has to give himself periods of actually practicing doing that and learning to recognize that greed and so that he's not involved in the greed and using the greed to do that, which will He says if we're not really skillful at just knowing the mind all the time, he says then, you know, just to try integrating it is very difficult. He says because we use the mind to feel, we use the mind to pay attention. He says, but if you really want to, if there's a true desire to recognize all this, which is in itself the integration, he says, the mind won't be able to.
Hallelujah. Ayong me me do. Di sik ka apit sik ja ayong. Ai di sik ne a lo lo ma.
He says what people do is whatever work they do, they take this whole mind. They're supposed to use this mind to, you know, to be aware or whatever, and they take this whole mind and they sink it into the activity.
Idea ka ba. Ni te ke ti chin la. Te ke ti chin sei shi de a chi ma lobha ko bian chi yo ya.
He says so the idea in the back of the mind is how strong is the motivation to really know the mind as it's an action, while it's an action. He says only when there's this strong motivation, then that mind, that motivation will notice the greed that's at work in that moment.
Otherwise,
the greed just overwhelms the mind,
mindfulness.
He says, so his practice used to be, is he, you know, is there greed? Is he feeling greedy? Okay. Let the greed go, like let the greed do its thing, and determine to recognize the greed every step of the way. So long as he recognizes it, like has kept it in view, that's enough for him. But over a long period of time, I mean, for him years, I think it became a habit. He enjoys doing something. So what? He'll enjoy doing it. He's aware of everything he's doing, enjoying and doing
everything.
But over this like long period of continuously doing that, what the result was that he can't help but notice what's happening. It's become nature. So he says that's why people have to be very interested in the practice itself. Like how to practice, how to maintain that practice, how to become aware, how to become conscious, how to grow that consciousness, you know, they've got to be interested in the process of practice. So they need to use their own wisdom to learn how to put this practice into life. He tried, and he'd been, you know, when he began, he practiced 6 months, 8 months, a year, and he was still not integrated. He began thinking really hard. He said, by hook or by crook, he was going to put it in. He was going to find out how to put it, get it in there.
His teacher would say to him, you have to be able to practice in life. You have to be able to practice in life.
His teacher would say to him, you have to be able to practice in life. It's possible to practice in life. And he was like, why am I not able to do it? He had all this information, and he knows that apparently the Buddha said so too. He says, why can't I do it? And so he says that main thing is really becoming familiar with the mind, close to the mind, skillful at knowing or recognizing the mind at work. He says, then is that mind at work all the time? And whatever that object, whatever the mind has taken as its object, he says the mind chooses naturally, whether it is your, you know, the thing you have to study or the thing you have to do, the mind has chosen its object, that doesn't matter. He's just interested in that. He said it's like getting the leader of the gang. He says if you've got the leader, you've got the whole gang. Or a bunch of grapes, you know. If you've got the little stalk, then all the grapes come out of the bunch.
Yeah.
The Buddha said mind is the precursor, right? The mind has created this universe. So he says if you have an eye on the mind, then everything is. He says as he practices more and more, he says it becomes more and more obvious to him. What is he contacting the whole world with? Oh,
no, I don't think I'm yellow. I don't chocolate here.
He says that the objects are not many, just six.
Just six.
Saito, just you were talking a little while ago about looking at all the ways you enjoy things, I think, and following that. I've heard many teachers say enjoyment is grasping, and, you know, it's not good, you should let it go, or something like that. So yesterday at lunchtime, we had a cookie at lunchtime, and I was practicing with that. Very pleasant, I was really enjoying it, but I didn't want another one. You know, just in the moment, it was good. In your practice, because this is a new practice for me, you would say, just notice, very happy, eating cookie, fine. Not enjoyment's not a problem?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Enjoy, but you know, you're losing that. But you enjoy it, you know.
Enjoy it all day. Enjoy it, you know, you're all day. Not a problem, but size is like machine. Not a problem, not a big. So what difference did it make that you
aware?
So that's the first step to accept and recognize this is happening. He says, so what difference did it make that you enjoyed, that you noticed the experience of
it? Recognize it.
And why are we learning to recognize this? Why are we being aware?
What difference did it make? I was very happy, but I wasn't looking to have more, just what I had. So there was some equanimity also.
Okay, so why did the equanimity, why was there this equanimity?
Because the mindfulness was there.
The issue.
He
says, so whatever the answer might be, he says that's a sort of investigation that still needs to go on.
Abuji, recognize that the decision is like a few lova and we can't allow me at all. Lova 50% genie, 50% can't allow me, no? 100% can't allow me at all.
He says, so in fact, what's happened is he said, when there is this recognition of the enjoyment that's happening, there's an awareness of the enjoyment. He says, the mind cannot do 100% enjoyment. 50%, you know, to put it arbitrarily, 50% of the mind is aware, and 50% is doing its normal thing. He said, but because of that, the mind doesn't buy fully into it, and that's why there isn't this continuing
awareness.
He says, so we have to understand the role that awareness is playing.
The awareness man, they get to niya ma pa lai. So when they the world,
and if in the awareness, you know, the part that's being aware, he says there's other kinds of wisdom present, not just pure mindfulness, but also other kinds of wisdom present, maybe intellectual understanding or some rational thinking or maybe something you've understood before about the nature of things as it is. And any of this is in there. He says that enjoyment, as you watch it with that wisdom, you know, quickly fades away when he says, because depending on how strong, like how beefed up this awareness is, the other one will be weaker.
Defilement awareness are 50-50 per month.
First in 50-50.
But if you say 80%, will come
20%-50%. He says, if this is 80%, then we'll
be weaker. But then are you saying that the enjoyment is a defilement?
Yes. Yes.
Enjoy it, but beware.
Find it enjoy alone, okay?
He says, what mind does the work of enjoying?
Oh, enjoy alone.
What are you enjoying?
The sense, the taste.
There's delusion there, thinking it's good.
It was good.
Sure. So what do you say? He says, he wants to ask you, is it that the taste is inherently good or that the mind judges this taste is good?
Mind judges the taste.
Equanimity,
If ever he says you have a state of equanimity in the mind is feeling kind of neutral towards a taste, he says, look at the taste again. He says, can the mind think of that taste? Can it feel, is it something to feel attached to?
Enjoy special.
Is it something to enjoy when the mind is neutral?
At that
time, you only see that the taste changes. He says what's important is to know that it's only when the mind is neutral, equanimous, that it sees the object as it is. He said if there's some little greed or delusion in the mind that's watching, he said it just doesn't see the object as it is.
So I have a question connected to this. The maybe subtle difference, or maybe there is no difference in the way that you're speaking about it, between noticing the pleasantness or the unpleasantness of a particular experience, and the enjoyment of a particular or aversion to a particular experience. In my experience, there is a difference between awareness of a pleasant or unpleasant sort of quality of any particular experience, and then the noticing my mind at times go to enjoyment and then go to, oh, this is good, or then go to some degree of aversion and then maybe go to, this is bad. To me, there's a difference. I'm not sure that that's what you're saying.
Pleasant, unpleasant, ne. Oh, enjoyment, jai kusurada. Tua matu ulo tua yang besar. Tua kau tu tua ciri ya kama tua belum mila seorang. Pertama seka, ciri ayah wotu wo tu the tua the ball utina tu the ball pleasant unpleasant kau tua iye iye khanzar ya. Pima seka.
Pleasant unpleasant okay.
The bawa wo tua pleasant unpleasant lo pior. Negara ko you get more water to present ship it out low and low, but I'm going to get a nice section mark who are ship it out.
Damn
it, what are you? 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 What are
you?
What are you? What are you? What are you? What are you?
What are
you? What are you? What are you? What are you? What are you? What are you? What are you? What are you? What are you? What
are you? What are you? What are you? What are you? What are you? What are you? Buddha present or unpleasant?
He says, okay, pleasant and unpleasant, whether there's something inherently pleasant or unpleasant about something, okay? We've considered this. He says, say we take the quality of heat. When you're cold, how does heat feel?
Pleasant.
And when it's very hot, how does heat feel?
Unpleasant.
So is heat inherently?
No, inherently, no. It's the mind.
Yes, mind unpleasant, unpleasant, mind
low. So the mind's already, when, you know, because you mentioned that the mind first feels the pleasant, unpleasant quality,
right.
Actually the mind has already spoken its judgment about whether this is good or bad for it. You just didn't notice that.
Right.
That other coming of, this is good or that you talk about later, that's much further on.
Many steps. Many steps.
And he says when the mind, you know, sees something with greed in the mind, it will only see what it perceives. It will only perceive what it sees as pleasant when there's greed in the mind. He says when we say, had some kind of food when we were young and we liked it, he says the mind will always have this idea that this is a pleasant food. When we see that food without ever tasting it, the it's already greeted, well, because of its previous experience of it, and it will judge it as pleasant. But someone who has never liked that food will look at it and just think it's not pleasant.
So a related question again. If there's equanimity in the mind, for instance, I had an experience a couple of days ago when I fell, and it could have been unpleasant, but it was interesting. And I was surprised,
yes,
in retrospect, that it was interesting. It was as if time slowed down. It became very, like, in slow motion, only it happened so quickly. And the mind was watching all the different experiences, the sensations, the movement of the body, all the, and it was just interesting. Mm. The person that was with me was very upset that I fell down, but I wasn't. It was okay. It was just what was happening. So there was a balance. There was an equanimity in the mind. And what could have been unpleasant was unpleasant for somebody else. Wasn't for me, and I was surprised.
So you see, that's why awareness and wisdom is just doing its own work. Because it got first place. It got it first.
In front.
But if that hadn't had first place, he says then if it was delusion, then all the rest would fall with it.
So in that case, if awareness is in front, so to say, then the experience of pleasant and unpleasant doesn't
become interesting.
It becomes interesting. So there's no pleasant or unpleasant, it's just
objective. Neutral pin, neutral lo mien. Sit pa ma neutral pin ni, object ka neutral pin.
And he says when the mind is neutral, the object is seen or perceived as neutral.
A ja u tin sit pa ko yin twa. Sit pa ma equanimity shin, sit tu a lo mien.
That's why he tells people to go back, to go first to the mind, because when the mind is sick of a
pin, equanimity shin ni.
When the mind is equanimous,
neutral pin ni. Object ko shi shi da mien.
Then the object is seen.
Sit pa ma liking disliking shin ni twa. Just lobby.
When the mind is liking or disliking in it already, he says then the judgment is in.
Sometimes yogi leh, ayo, terus tertelur ni lah. Di six and down ni jauh ni cina. Banyak react lor. Normal.
If you think about it, the way we've lived our whole lives, and we have sense contact all the time at home. What is our normal reaction to all the things we experience?
But sometimes pleasant and unpleasant isn't liking or disliking. It's just that. It's just.
Pleasant,
it's just unpleasant.
Doesn't matter.
And why are you able to say that it is just that?
Because awareness is up front, comes up front. He
says, so for people who have practiced, there is awareness and wisdom present in the mind, this is possible.
Normal people, so.
What about wrong people?
It's not abnormal to have awareness.
He says it's not abnormal, but it's not. Ordinary people,
He says, but for, normal people come, he says you have to think about how they normally react. What happens to people when they, have sense contact all the time? They So would it be enough to tell them to keep watching those objects because all the mind does when it has contact? That's why he starts off by telling people check the mind. What's in the attitude? How is it relating to the object?
Aware the object later. Now.
Aware of the object later. Because the moment they pay attention to the object, the mind's natural habit is to like or dislike. He says the main thrust of his instructions is that point of right view. He says, what view, what point of view are we going to watch that object?
Right view should be my awareness, right awareness of yours.
Only when right view is there and then you bring in awareness, it will be right awareness.
Hmm. So are you saying if equanimity is there, the object is always seen as neutral?
Upekashi, ayo mie.
Neutral.
Upeka.
So no pleasant, no enjoyment.
Yes. Even pain.
Even pain.
Yeah. Pain over mie, no, I think.
Didn't even the Buddha experience painful sensations when he was poisoned close to death? Didn't he describe that as painful?
He says, to express it to other people, this is how he has to speak about it. But he understands that the nature of what is happening is just object, like objectified.
Yeah, but pain and no pain are bankwa.
He said, what's the difference between pain and no pain?
Dula.
Is it the same or different?
Sensation is different.
It's
possible.
Possible the mind could be the same, but the sensation in the body.
He says, but if you take pain as an object and no pain as an object, they're just object. In that nature,
they're object.
Somebody who knows the reality of the nature of object. Concepts still need to be used. We still need to use
natural
reality. So we have to use conventional reality to speak.
He says we have to know the difference between
conventional and ultimate reality, but knowing that, we still have to use them and there. He says when there's true equanimity in the mind, because the mind understands at that time, pain doesn't feel like pain.
Right?
Even the meaning pain doesn't sort of come into the mind. You can see it as an object. Many things come together. He says what's important is to check for whether there is any kind of resistance or aversion in the mind. Once there is not even a little bit of resistance or aversion in the mind, then you can look at the pain differently. But when there's even a little bit of pain or aversion, then So if there's aversion in the mind and you look at the object, he says, you see a particular perception of the object. And then wait till there's no more aversion in the mind. And then look back at the same object, you'll see that the perception is different. He says, don't you sometimes have this experience where you have the same person and sometimes you're feeling quite happy and that person was such a nice person and sometimes you're going, oh, that person is such a pain. He says, so depending on the state of the mind, the object is seen differently. He says, you can't talk to people about neutral all the time. People don't understand. Because so long as they're still experiencing with greed and aversion, he says then pleasant and unpleasant will still be
part. Vedana nupadana shu le, vedana nupadana lo the same. Pleasant unpleasant neutral wo adhika ma tha wo, feeling wo adhika tha.
Yeah, he says, like when he talks about vedana nupasana, he says it's not the pleasant, unpleasant and neutral that is important. It is the aspect of feeling that is important. The mind feels.
Love, pleasant look, free look, unpleasant, free look, neutral, free look. This feeling is that we are not new person.
Yeah,
I feeling is impermanent.
Yeah, greed feels, aversion feels, but that feeling is ethically neutral.
I don't know if you're worldly, but
the mind does this work of feeling into things. And that function is always changing. Always, it comes and goes, comes and goes. It does its work, and then it's gone. And it does its work again, He says, so he asked people when they say they've been watching Vedana, he asked them, do you know the pleasantness or unpleasantness? Or do you know the mind, that the mind is doing its feeling job, you know?
ดูเนี่ยเพลสเซนต์ดีอายุยောက်တာများ unpleasant อายุยောက်တာများ neutral อายุยောက်တာများ feeling ပျောက်တယ
် This is so most often he says when people say they experience pleasantness they're in the object when they experience unpleasantness or neutralness it's in the object they experience in the object but they forget what the mind is doing which is feeling
constant diversity
so in the pleasant unpleasant neutral he says the concepts are so there.
အဲ့ကြောင့် reality ကြောင့်မပြောရဲလား
It doesn't it's hard to talk about realities
ကိုယ်ကဝေးပါလေ
Get started further away the more you talk about it
အဲ့ကြောင့်လူတွေကိုပလမတ်ကိုတိပါပြီးတော့မပြောရဲလား
Yeah that's why he doesn't dare to define reality for people anymore
Okay
Okay, he says another thing, for example, we are aware of thoughts. He says, do we recognize this is a thought or do we recognize this is the mind?
Different understanding.
Awareness, just recognizes.
ပညာကြမှာသူကပညာကြမှာစိတ်လိုသဘောပေါက်တယ်။
Panya understands this is mind.
Mind လိုသဘောပေါက်ပြီဆိုတော့ personal ပျောက်သွားတယ
်။ Once there's understanding this is mind, he says then the personal aspect of it is gone.
ဟောဒီစိတ်က nature ဆိုတာတည်တယ် personal မဟုတ်ဘူး။ nature ဆိုသဘောပေါက်ထားရင်စိတ်လိုတည်ထားရင် personal ပျောက်သွားတယ
်။ Also if we understand this is nature, you know, like mind is mind. Once this understanding that this is its nature, you know, then also that aspect of personal
အဲ့ကြည်လာလို့မိုင်းလို့သဘောပေါက်လာမြင်တယ်သူမိုင်းကိုတိတ်အာရုံမပြုတော့သူကဘာပဲတိတော့ညဖြစ်လာတဲ့သဘောလေးပဲတိ
။
ကြောက်သွားတဲ့သဘောလေးပဲတိတော့
။ When the mind gets very used to gets like fully grounded in that understanding that this is mine. It constantly understands this is mine. He says then the mind stops seeing. Then that understanding goes beyond seeing just mine. It starts to see there is just becoming.
Becoming.
Yes. Yes.
Mind is
nature they are like nature တခုပဲဒါလည်း nature တခုပဲ
that's also a nature coming into being is also a principle of nature
အာယုံလည်းဒါပဲတိစိတ်လည်းဒါပဲ
whether it's the object or the knowing just coming into being
object ဆိုတာရုပ်လည်းဖြစ်နိုင်တယ်စိတ်လည်းဖြစ်နိုင်တယ
် and the object can be rupa nam
ဒါပေမဲ့သူကဖြစ်တာပဲရှိဖြစ်တဲ့တဘောကိုရေးမိတယ်
but the mind the you knowstarts to notice that all these things, all they do is keep coming.
And is this awareness, this mind there all the time? Or is it arising with the objects? He makes a difference between sati and vijnana. So vijnana is arising with the object and passing away with the object continuously. And
always.
Sati, that is happening continuously. That doesn't ever stop. So this vijnana
contact the object.
Contacting with the sense, you know, which arises with every sense contact, is happening all the time, regardless of whether there is sati or not, whether awareness is there of it or not. But the sati, he says, whether it comes to a point where it's aware all the time, that comes with practice. But it, I think you mean whether it's permanent or not. So myeshi nirala lo elo myo meje na dilo dariya chi ba chi ne le dai ya ma pyaung le u la lo so
me pyaung na bo da kaung lo pyaung
it's just that awareness changes too
mien mu la
have you seen it change
sai so yu kong pyaung
he says if it's mine it's all changing
sai ma bo ba u yau le pyaung na
But not just the mind,
physical
too. He says, you know what he's done before? He's looked at things to see if it won't change. Yeah? He says, you never know. Maybe there is something. He hasn't seen anything yet.
He's
waiting.
What about Nibbana?
Nibbana. He doesn't know yet.
What did you do? Go.
Right, go.
Okay. Now what may you?
Sado, I've noticed through years of being a yogi, having various teachers and their unique qualities, what they impart to me and to others. And also I've noticed the qualities and appreciated the qualities that Sado has about this unrelenting investigation and turning the mind towards the mind more and more as a natural habit. And I was wondering what qualities Shui Min imparted to him that had been important in his life, that he has integrated with his own natural, unique way, but it's also very distinct for him.
To see the mind in Ashokura, to do a seare, day out, day out.
Don't
go. သူတို့ရဲ့ပုံစံမတူလို့တယောက်တယောက်စီတစ်ခုသူ့ပုံမှာတစ်ခုမွင်တစ်ခုပေါ့မွင်နှစ်ခုသုံးခုပေါ့သူ့ပုံမှာတယောက်မှုရှိတယ်ဥပမာဦးစင်းရှီရဆိုရင်သူကပါရလဲဆိုတော့အမြဲစုံစမ်းနေရမယ်နဲ့ဒီစိတ်ဘက်ကပုံပုံလှဲ့စိတ်ဘက်ကပုံပုံကြည့်နောက်ဆုံးဒါအချင်းဖြစ်သွားအောင်လို့ဘာမှဖြစ်သွားအောင်အဲ့လိုမျိုးဦးစင်းရှီရရအဲ့သွားသိကြတယ်ဦးစင်းရရောရွှေပုစရတော့ရှိရဘာရလဲဦးစင်းခံစားရတာပေါ့ဦးစင်းစရတော့ရှိရ
Athu tada.
He says he learned how to practice from Sayadaw.
Yeah. Really learned how to
practice. Information,
yeah.
He got a lot of information.
Like information, yeah. That's why
he feels right information is so important.
Information, baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He said, for example, this sort of information, when yogis talk about, oh, my mind wandered away and I brought it back. Mm-hmm. And he tells that the mind can't wander away. It's in the semantics, it's in the language. But the yogi gets this unconsciously, this strange idea that it's the same mind that goes away and the same mind he brings back. Mm-hmm. And he explains to them the mind can't go anywhere. The mind only arises, it only
Nature of the mind.
That's all there is to
that right information. So if the yogi has this idea that this mind goes wrong, wrong idea wrong
idea
when
maybe. Then
unconsciously
this wrong view that this is
permanent,
this is the same thing.
This mind go out, this mind go back. Pull back.
Same mind.
Same mind. Wrong view will start, wrong information will not be. Idea will not be.
Sort of subtly, this wrong information, wrong idea goes into
the mind. Yeah. One yogi heard this, heard him say this, and she said, right then,
she said, wow, hearing that makes me feel so much better already.
why don't do the same problem alone? The abemane.
He says, and because that was her experience before, she kept feeling like she had to pull it back. And understanding that there was nothing, no need to pull anything back. It was just happening.
No, not the other.
Another person, he said, when there's greed and you recognize there's greed, that's right view. Recognize greed for what it is right view. Oh, and that person felt so relieved.
Why do the
two Adam appear? Because that person felt that it should not, like he should not let greed arise and try to suppress.
Yeah, for the information to be that different at the time of your love, don't opinion, don't appear the same. Kids sing my little opinion, man. Recognize Lupa.
This is the information given in the Satipatthana Sutta. The Buddha said, if there's greed, recognize that the greed mind has arisen.
Mm-hmm. But where,
but where
yeah,
but where is the greed mind arising?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but where yogis get information from, he says, it's from other sources, like they hear. Greed is a defilement, it's not a wholesome quality of mind. We have, and you know, ultimately, the goal is to eradicate greed. And they get all that, and then they try to do that now. He says, but what can we eradicate greed with? What do we use to eradicate greed?
So, dhoranempe.
And the yogi doesn't know, so he uses what he knows, and that's actually subtly aversion.
Samadhi ne pet, viriya ne pet, phi.
Uses viriya and samadhi to suppress
greed.
And so when there's all this suppression, then if the yogi has an explosion, it's worse, is it?
Yogi diao ba viriya, tu diya atu la chai, dora bu bu ji la.
One yogi said to him, he says, the longer she practiced meditation, the more angry she was becoming. And when he explained to that yogi that, she should just recognize greed and aversion as it rises, understand its nature, and just investigate, she couldn't hear him. She couldn't allow herself to hear him because all she had done all her life was try not to have these feelings.
Yeah.
So she was suppressing the defilements with other defilements.
Mm-hmm.
So her question to him always was, but aversion, like anger is not good, right? So why should I let anger arise? Like why should I let it be there? Why should I accept it? So he says what Buddha had said in a kind of hidden way was that how you have to eradicate any defilement is by having awareness and wisdom. And so the learning for the yogi is how to develop the awareness and wisdom so that it will be there. And once the awareness and wisdom is there, then there is a not allowing naturally because of the presence of
that.
It's like a musical chair. So if awareness and wisdom is in the seat, defilements
come.
So eradication by not allowing it to arise. And why is it not allowed to arise? Because awareness and wisdom are present. And he says only when wisdom arises, then this kind of eradication or, getting rid of defilement happens. He says awareness cannot get rid of anything. Awareness can only recognize the things that happen.
Awareness can prevent anything.
Awareness cannot prevent anything.
Wisdom
arises, then there's this prevention that happens. And
Atokasa, awareness are leader. Understanding are follower.
The beginning
of the practice.
Awareness leads
and
wisdom follows slowly.
Awareness and wisdom.
But once this wisdom has been gathered, then that awareness and wisdom start working.
Awareness alone, wisdom alone.
And then if that wisdom grows even more, he says, then wisdom starts to always be the leader, and awareness is just in the background.
Awareness,
just
to Miyamoto.
It's not his show anymore.
Beginner awareness is sure.
Beginner awareness
is. Data suit anya ma do a lower.
Yeah, awareness.
From information suit anya, data suit anya do a lower.
Yeah, awareness works to gather data and information, you know, for
knowledge. Wisdom don't be so in. Awareness and now like that, pa la bi.
Once wisdom knows how to function, he says, then awareness is always doing its work, but wisdom.
Awareness or tamadhi or wiriya or kumbhala.
Everything is present then,
awareness. Nyana dege phinne ne, nyan phinne ne chima, awareness or tamadhi or effort, tutu, sadda, kumbhala ema.
When wisdom is present, all the five faculties are all actually working together.
The five faculties are don't feel understanding with yaw chula. No, understanding yaw is a tutu pala.
He says we use the five faculties to practice and gain more wisdom, and once more wisdom is gained, that also brings that whole pack.
Right. Understanding level. At kaun nei chin ma tia yan lwe.
So when understanding is has grown, has become strong, he says then when everything has strengthened, he says practice becomes very easy.
Dhamma ga alo lou nei chin.
He said at that time.
Person ne alo mlou lo.
The Dhamma is working. He says not the person.
Oh. So this is a new practice for me. I haven't had these instructions before, so still trying to understand a little. And even today and yesterday you were talking about practice, say when there's very loud music or strong things and you can see really clearly the farm and kalesas are present. But here most of the time it's very pleasant, it's very quiet, the food is good, so the mind is quite peaceful.
Yeah.
Just noticing small things around. Is the idea you should be actively looking for very subtle defilements, sort of like this, or just, you know, tree, cushion, chair?
Everything nice.
He says, so he says the awareness here and the wisdom has to be actually sharper.
Uh-huh.
He says, because greed is at work here.
Uh-huh.
He says, so there has to be a recognition of the greed that's
more than
not much aversion. He says, but greed and delusion are fully at work.
It's not that.
It's
not very gross greed or it's very subtle.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Udaya o udem
tua mera guna te mwe de ha ri wo a lo a thu lai sha ma la chi chi tha
a lo tua de ti a kaung la nyan a kaung ai ya ko lo lai tu nyan a kaung lai tua te mwe da phi phi thu mien
because you asked, you know, so do you know have to watch out for more subtle. He says all you need to do is actually just grow that awareness and wisdom by, you know, making sure the awareness is continuous, conscious of that, recognition of that.
So just aware, you know, just a tree, cushion,
walking.
How do you feel when you see these things?
Banale.
Neutral.
What do you understand when you see these
things?
Do you know that this this is just being known? Do you know that what is knowing is what is knowing?
Awareness of Dila.
Do you recognize the awareness?
Yes, not all
the time, but, you know, when the practice is going and there's awareness, yes.
Awareness machine Dila.
And do you recognize when there is no awareness?
No.
But awareness fit.
No, I mean, I joke a little bit. Then sometimes, you know, you forget for a while and then,
He
says when the awareness becomes very sharp, it becomes very sensitive to slight, you know, losses of awareness. It feels like you're losing awareness all the time because you just notice it so much. And do you know why awareness becomes present?
That's always the good question.
The Buddha asked, said to ask this sort of question. So the ability of the mind to know has to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It has the potential, but it needs to be grown.
Now,
and why does then, and then once awareness is there, why does it continue to be there?
The wisdom starts to come in.
And you can continue to investigate because there are many
others.
So just being aware alone is not enough. He said that doesn't grow wisdom.
ဥစဉ်တစ်ခါအားထုတ်တာဥစဉ်တွေ့ကြပြောပြမှာနော်ဒါဟိုညံနေဘလို့လှုပ်လှုပ်လေဆိုဥစဉ်ဟင်းတစ်ခုလောဘဖြစ်တာဟင်းဟင်းတယ်ဥစဉ်လို့စားတဲ့ဟင်းညအများကြီးဆိုကြိုက်တဲ့ဟင်းခတ်လို့ရစားနေတော့ဒီဟင်းကိုစားချင်တာကိုတတိထားမယ်အဲ့တော့အဲ့စိတ်ကိုကြည့်ရင်ကြည့်နေအဲ့ပုံမတော်တာလောဘမဖြစ်တော့တကယ်စားနေစိတ်မရှိတော့ဒါပေမဲ့ तू ကဒီရောတားဂက်ထားတဲ့အတွက်ကျန်တဲ့ဟာလောဘဖြစ်ပြီးသွားတော့မသိလားအေ
း tell you the way though.The mind works as an example. Like once he was eating, and you know they have all this food on a table, and they can reach for everything. And he liked this particular dish, so he started watching the greed for that dish in his mind, and he's watching that continuously. So he really kept an eye on that mind. He continued eating, but he could see how the mind would keep going to the dish, but he didn't follow that mind. Just kept an eye on it. And then he finished his meal, and the greed for that dish really went away. He didn't even feel like going to reaching for the dish anymore. And then he checked and realized his mind had greed for all the other things he'd eaten already.
Already?
He hadn't noticed. Because he had targeted this so intensely.
ဟုတ်ကဲ့မှာကနည်းနည်းရှော့လိုက်ဟုတ်ကဲ့တိတ်ပြီးမဆိုင်တော့ဒီဘုရားမှာဖြစ်နေတော့ဗျာ
The mind wasn't careful anymore with awareness of everything
ဒီတော့ဥစဉ်ကဘလို့အားထုတ်တယ်ဆိုလောဘဖြစ်ရင်လောဘစိတ်ကိုတောက်လျှောက်ကြည့်တောက်လျှောက်ကြည့်နော်စိတ်လုံးလို့ရလောဘမဖြစ်ဘူးစားနေတယ်နော်ဒီအရာတော့တည်နေတယ်နော်လောဘလုံးဝမဖြစ်ဘူးနည်းနည်းရှော့လိုက်ချက်ချင်းပြည့်အဲ့ဟာလေညာလားတမာတိလား
တမာတိပ
ဲရှိသေးတယ
် He used to he said practice like thisLike if he feels any greed come up, he will watch that mind which was having greed continuously, he said, like without letting up on it. He says, and once he saw how he was watching it continuously, it had subsided. He wasn't feeling like eating that dish. And then his mind relaxed its hold on how he's watching it, and immediately the greed came back, equally strong.
Then he was, for that same thing.
Yeah. And then he realized, he said, in that, you know, at that time, that all that was working at that time was samadhi.Suppressing them. There's no wisdom there. After, he says, how long can they go on watching? The moment you relax. He says, so you have to keep the pressure on, you know, unrelentingly. The effort has to be on all the time.
အဲတမားဒီ idea ပဲရှိသေးတယ
်
တမထားနဲ့ဖိထားတာပဲရှိသေးတယ
် Only a samadhi perspective just using samatha kind of practice
အဲ့တော့ဦးဇင်းအောင်မှာဆောက်ဒီဟင်းဘယ်ဟင်းပေါ်မှာလောဘဖြစ်တာအရေးမရှိဘူးဘယ်ဟင်းပေါ်မှာမှလောဘမဖြစ်အောင်ကြိုးစားစိတ်ပတ်မှာလောဘမရှိအောင်ကြိုးစားလောဘဘာလို့ဖြစ်လဲလောဘဘာလဲအဲ့အောင်ရင်လေ့လာ
So he realized that he says it's not the greed for a particular dish he's checking to see whether there's any greed at all in the mind and learning to work with that so recognizing the greedAnd then recognizing why the greed arises, recognizing what greed is, he said, so a learning of those questions. Yeah.
And do you recognize the greed or any of the kleshas just through thought? Is it always just through thought?
Yes.
So words in the mind?
Words in the mind?
Words
in the mind?
Tu a loba phit de so ra, sikka sikka lo na pyo ma loba man ti da.
No, tu nature o chi de.
No, he says greed has its nature. It's not just a spoken thought.
Right. The nature that that
is. We can feel it. Nature, you can feel that.
So more like we would say an energy.
Yes, energy. Ne, pyo le ya. Feeling ne, ne pyo le ya.
I'm just curious because yesterday Sarada said meditation is only of the mind, but sometimes we feel this energy in the body.
Oh, see ya. The ya atu da say alo yo alo ma hok pu lo pyo lo.
Yes.
What,
I mean,
he says, and how do you know that energy in the body?
Through awareness.
But that's the mind that's at work. So
that's the meditation.
The body, the reaction, the body, the reaction, the body, 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 ဘာကြောင့်လဲဆိုအနားလည်နေလို့အာယုံအာယုံလို့တည်တယ်အတန်အတန်လို့ပဲတည်တယ်ဒါတဘာဝပဲဆိုတည်နေတယ် object လို့တည်တယ် mind လို့တည်တယ်အဲ့လိုတည်နေတော့သဘောကျဟုတ်ပြီနော်ဒါကျင့်နေတယ်သဘောကျတယ်နော်အဲ့မှာမိကုန်းတို့ကဘာလဲဒီအတန်ဒီအတန်ပေါ်မှာမှ reaction မရှိလားအတန်တိုင်းမှာရော reaction မရှိလားမေးလာပြီကွာစက်အားထုတ်ဖို့မေးပြီတကယ်လို့အတန်တိုင်းမှာတော်တော်များများအတန်ဦးစင်းအတွက်အတန်ပြဿနာသိမ့်ဖို့တော့တော့အတန်ပေါ်မှာမှreaction မရှိတာလားဘယ်အာရုံပေါ်မှာမှ reaction မရှိတာထပ်ထပ်ပြီးတော့အဲ့လိုမိကုန်းကမေးလာပြီဆက်အားထုတ်ဖို့
Yeah he says I mean he's told his story often before about you know the center in Burma is very noisy and a lot of people have a lot of reactions to all the noise and it's quite persistent sometimes and he doesn't have a reaction to noise most of the time he's quite equanimous to sound And that day he was noticing his equanimity to the sound. He was noticing the difference that people were having reactions and he was not having reactions. And then he was watching and there was even sort of a feeling of enjoyment. And he was wondering, what was he enjoying? Was he enjoying the music? And then he was watching and no, the mind was enjoying its understanding that this was sound, this was nature, this is, you know, all these things at work, this is the object, this is mind, the mind is fully understanding that and the mind was pleased with that. And then he said his mind asked him another question. So if you don't have reaction to this sound, then the mind asked him, do you not have reaction to any sound at all? And then so the mind said, well, as far as he can think, mostly he's equanimous. So then the mind asked another question. So if you're equanimous to sound as an object, is the mind equanimous to all objects yet? So he says the mind is already pushing itself to investigate further.
Any object, so you hang up to me.
He says if it's to any object, you're an arhat.
But he said in that process, when he looked at the mind, he was enjoying that.
Piti.
But is that because of wisdom? So it's piti, you know. Yeah.
So that's
not a defilement. No. Dhamma piti.
Yeah, dhamma piti.
Understanding what piti
means. There's pity around the understanding that is present, yeah. And no attachment.
Value, no, ti da na le dao, nenge te ya siya dwa te na, ti wan da lu biola, ti ya kung ma bu de bo bo.
Yeah, he says, and one of the things that siya dwa, like, sort of, I won't say beat into him, like, like, something that siya dwa said when they were young, so that it got drummed into them, when they were very little and you know all his brothers and sisters were practicing that, was Seattle would say, you should be happy when you know anything. Mm-hmm. Like the joy is in the discovery of anything. And so from a young age, you know, it was like if he knew something he'd be happy. And now he says he really understands the value of that lesson much more. Why did Seattle say be happy to know something?
Hello. Mm-hmm. တိတာဝမ်းတာဖြစ်တာပြောက်တာမလို့
So he says the happiness is about knowing. He says what is happening, like what you know is not a problem.
I think there's with many yogis that they've never learned that or never been encouraged in that way or
မကြဘူးမကြဘူးပဲ
And they don't even recognize or allow themselves to feel that and I think it's
Yeah, he said it from when he was little, like right from the beginning, so it's easy. Yeah, he says even if it was his anger, he was very interested, he was happy too.
Oh, yeah, didn't he look?
That's why he says information is so important for the yogi, and that's what Kalyanamitas are for.
100% ဖျားပြောအလကားပြောတာမဟုတ
်ဘူး။ The Buddha
said, "Tale." 100% အထောက်ကူဖြစ်တယ်ပြော50%လို့အာနန္ဒကပြောတာ50%အထောက်ကူဖြစ်တယ်ပြောတာ
He says, "Ananda said that Kalyanamitas are 50% support for the Dhamma and the Buddha said 100%.
I have a question about the example you gave back a little bit when you spoke about looking at greed and being very fixed on looking at greed.And then with the samadhi, the expression used was a samadhi type relationship to looking at it. And then it switched and you saw how how, in a sense, close the mind was or narrow the mind was, and then there was some understanding. Many of us have practiced that way, and there are many yogis that practice that way, and out of that can come an understanding. I mean, it's not innately, from my perspective, from my own practice, it's not an innately, a quote, bad, unquote, way to practice, because in his example, for instance, there was a turning of the mind, and out of that came some understanding.
Yeah.
เอ้ยมาช่อไล่แต่คําม่ามายุทธิที่สึกอ่ะนอกตะแผ่นเปลี่ยนไปแล้วเอ้ยมันยังผิดเนี่ยชื่อชื่อได้ไล่เนี่ยแล้วเปียวยอมนี่เนี่ยอะไรเงี้ยผิดแต่มัธสันสันเนี่ยอาถุเนี่ยยังผิดไปแล้วช่อไล่แต่คําม่ายังผิดแต่เออแต่มัธสันสันอาถุตาตูตูหาตูเนี่ยรอตูตูมาเปลี่ยนไม่ใช่หรอกเนี่ย
yes
intelligent personality
because naturally the intelligent mind is agile, is flexible and works.
ตมถะปัญญาหมดพญาเลยไข้หน้าแล้วตมถะลุ่ลุ่ติ๋นเลยรู้ပြောได้ล่ะอุเทนตมถะเป่ราหมดกู
yeah he says and samatha is not bad. He says the Buddha taught samatha, he advocated it to people, so there's nothing, he's not saying don't do samatha at all.
तू ने ไก่ दे तू तमथा လုပ် ရင်လည်း तू ညံပါလဲလူอ่ะ तू อ่ะညံကအဖြစ်ဖြစ်ဝင်လာရင်ညံဥတော်သွားလိမ့်မယ
်
တချို့ကညံပါတော့တမထာနဲ့တက
် So what happens though is that in doing a samatha style practice when people are intelligent they want to investigate, they're curious, and when wisdom starts working, wisdom finds its way, and when wisdom grows, wisdom leads the way quite naturally. But there are people who don't use wisdom, who don't use their intelligence.
คุณน่ะก
็ stuck in doing the samatha stuff
คุณน่ะลงเนี่ยตมถะลงนี่ไปมั้ยสึกก็ญานปาเนี่ยตูก็ตีฉินนี่ต
ี
ฉินในสึกชื่อเนี่ยตูก็ငိမ့်တော့ကြိုက်နေတာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း So like for him in the example he gave, he says although he was doing at that time in that moment the samatha kind of looking, he says what was in the back of, like what was the motivation for doing that stuff, practice was still a desire to know, so there's still this curiosity and
what is it,
so there's this sense of investigation wanting to know what's the result of this, but also not an attachment to the, you know, to the greed going down or the peace or something that he was getting from that experience.
So in working with a student who's has a tendency towards a narrow mind, that's what I call a narrow mind.
Narrow mind hope that yeah narrow
and who's, you know, intelligent and wanting to wake up, etc.
Yes.
Could you speak a little bit about how you would dialogue with the student, like what you would work, how you would work with that kind of a student?
အဲ့တော့အဲ့တော့အယောဂီကဉာဏ်ရှိတယ်။ဒါပေမဲ့အထုတ်တဲ့ပုံစံကကျင်းနေတယ်။
ကျင်းနေတယ်။
ဆိုရင်ဦးဇင်းကဘယ်လိုလုပ်လဲ။
အခုလိုပြောပြီပေါ့။ဦးဇင်းမျက်မျက်စကားပြောပြီပေါ့
။ He would talk a lot to the yogi. I mean, say the things.
Send the side things he said.
Yes. ဘလိုလုပ်ရင်ဉာဏ်ဖြစ်လာမလဲဉာဏ်ဖြစ်နိုင်တဲ့ပုံစံတွေ idea တွေကိုပြောပြောပေးတယ
်
ဉာဏ်ဘလိုတွင်းတယ်ဉာဏ်ဘလိုပေါ်လာတယ်ဒါတွေမင်းများပြောပေးရင် तू ကြားပြီ information ဝင်သွားရင် तू လုပ်ပြီ तू อ่ะ
He says just explaining the way the mind works when you know wisdom is at work, just explaining those mechanics of how the mind tends to do its thing, explaining how wisdom is allowed to arise or what wisdom does when it works, you know, and he says he doesn't need the yogi to follow any of these as instructions. He just wants to give the yogi that information, and he says if the yogi is intelligent, that thing will start working in the back of the mind. And yeah,
upama
upama
dora
si 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 cha
information yai chain nai da pe tu lou lai ma tu lou tu lou lai ma
information will do it
so yeah oh ta kha ni u sin ba me le so dora shu တော်တော်ရှိရင်မေးခွန်းနဲ့မေးမရှိခိုင်းတယ်ဒီတိုင်းသူရော့အောင်ရှုခိုင်းတော့လူတော်တော်များများတော့တော့ရော့သွားဖြစ်ခြင်းနဲ့စိတ်နဲ့ရှုတာများတယ်ရှုနိုင်တဲ့အချိန်မှာရော့သွားတယ်တဘောမပေါက်အဲ့တော့ညနေပါလေတွင်မို့လို့မေးခွန်းလေးမေးပြီးတော့ဒီတော်တော်ပါလေတော်တော်ဘာလို့ဖြစ်တာလဲဘာလို့တော်တော်ဖြစ်နေတာလဲဖြစ်ဖို့လိုသလားဒါတွေနည်းနည်းသုံးပေးလိုက်ရင်ရော့ရနိုးလာတယ်
He says you know, for example, he tells yogis when working with emotions, like aversion, he tells them to use questions to have a sense of investigation about the aversion, about the emotion. Rather than, he says, well, the tendency of people is to look at things to just have it go away. Mm-hmm. Like if they'll look at it, it'll go away, and then they think, okay, they've done it. So he tells them, it's not going to have it go away, it's because you want to understand something about it. And then, you know, he gives them, suggests questions for them, like, what is this emotion? Why is this emotion here? What is the emotion about? Is the emotion necessary at all? And asking these questions helps the yogis to be interested. And so the yogi's willing to mill about that emotion rather than have a vested interest in that emotion going away. So that's the use of wisdom.
The question of why is this emotion here can, especially for the Western mind, can take it on a long train ride of
He always then explains to them when he talks about why, he's not talking about the story. Like, this person made me angry, or this person made me upset.
Obvious.
It's the way the mind is working. How is the mind winding itself up in this?
He
says the first important question is that what is this emotion? What is the mind's viewpoint of this emotion?
So
that's the first question, because he's introducing
ordinary people. Ordinarily,
people just identify with whatever they experience.
Automatically. So right view and intelligence. That the whole part of the thing, definement is
young. He said, so putting it in the right view first. And he says, if the person has understood that this is indeed right view, so that, you know, that sort of understanding that this is impersonal has become that person's own wisdom, he said then it becomes very much easier for those people to investigate. He says, so we check ourselves, you know, looking at the emotions, do we still think it's my emotion?
Yeah.
Do we?
Okay, now first step. Now, bao dora pinina.
And
bao dora pinina.
What is the anger about? What is the attachment?
Dale, reality sick, a lolo. The sick, lolo down, yenle, nyame, nyamping, like you want in
yoga. He says this is also an aspect of reality at work. This is the way the mind is working, seeing what is attached to it. And if you recognize that reality at work, that nature in motion, he says realizing that that's what it is also frees the mind from the emotion because it sees the reality.
Some understanding. Will but understanding be how? Understanding is defining your yoga.
Whatever the understanding is, he says, the moment the mind understands some aspect of its truth, he says immediately the mind is able to let it go. Instantly at that
point.
And why?
The dora sikka bhajang phit la.
Why has this mind arisen? Why has this emotion arisen?
Now don't go out in a chair.
His favorite is it necessary or not?
You guys don't know it's necessary, unnecessary. He says when he asks yogis this question,
the instant answer is it's not necessary. Always. But it's still happening.
They
get but if there's a real understanding, it really doesn't come
in. I mean, low other low
cheated. But there have been some people who say it's necessary.
So I just have a hard question. Sayadaw, do you ever talk with yogis about the reactive mind and the responsive mind? That's a way that I speak, but rather
reaction
than
being unwholesome, response being
wholesome.
Yes, skillful. Yeah, yes,
using those words.
Yes.
Because that's what I'm hearing a little bit right now.
Yeah.
Only that you didn't use that language.
Yeah. You need to tell me, I'm holding a reaction a little bit.
He says, instead of reacting to an object in an unwholesome way, the object should be the proximate cause for developing awareness, samadhi, and wisdom in the mind. He says, developing awareness, samadhi, and wisdom in the mind by using all objects is called the practice of vipassana.
ဲ့တော့စဉ်းစားကြည့်ဒီအာယုံယူပြီးတော့တတိတမန်ကြီးဉာဏ်ဖြစ်ရမယ်ဆိုတာဉာဏ်မပါဘဲနဲ့ဘယ်လိုမှမဖြစ်ဘူ
း
right view မရှိဘဲနဲ့ဘယ်လိုမှမဖြစ်နိုင်ဘ
ူး if you think about it to use any object or an object to develop awareness samadhi and
wisdom
he says is not possible if wisdom is not already present
right view မရှိဘဲနဲ့မရနိုင်ဘူးဒါကြောင့်ရိုးရိုးလူတွေကအာယုံတိုက်တာနဲ့လောဘဒေါသကတဘာဝဖြစ်နေတယ်
so that's why ordinarily the moment the person anybody you know contacts with an object the natural habit of the mind is to like or dislike that's the reaction
ဒါကြောင့်တမ္မာဒိဋ္ဌိအရေးကြီးတယ်မိခင်ရှိပါမှာတမ္မာဒိဋ္ဌိတမ္မာသင်္ကပ္ပဖြစ်သွားမှာတင်တာ
that's why he says somebody to right view is so important that's why he says in the noble eightfold path the first two
ဖျားဖြစ်လို့ဖျားဖြစ်ဖြစ်ချင်းစဉ်းစားတာတရားဟောလို့ရပါမလားစဉ်းစားတာလူတွေကိုဘာလို့တို့လောဘဒေါသမောအာကြီးတဲ့လူတွေကိုဘလို့လို့
ထဲ့လဲ
အေ
း he says that's why the Buddha's first reflection of one becoming enlightened was can I teach the Dharma because to teach people who are full of lower dosa and moha about this he was wondering how should he do it
လောဘဒေါသမောအကုသုဇင်ဆိုတာလောဘဒေါသမောအာကြီးတဲ့လူကိုပြောတာသူလောဘဒေါသမောနဲ့အမထောအောင်လို့ပြောရင်ဘယ်လောက်ခက်မှာထင်လဲ
is the definition of putujana as one who is full of lobha dosa moha and you tell them the practice is about not doing it with lobha dosa moha he says where are you going to start
but so difficult ဘာနဲ့စောက
် so what should we start with
အမောဟနဲ့စောက်ဦးစေ
start with
အမောဟအမောဟ knowledge စောက်
so starts with knowledge informational wisdom
အဲ့တော့ခင်ဗျားလာမပေါ် information မလာဘူးဆိုဘလူးကမလွယ်ဘူးတရားသူတဘောပေါက်ပါမို့
So if the Buddha had not been around and he hadn't given all this information, he says that all none of us would have understood.
No way. No way out. No way out.
That's why
there
are people who want to become Buddhas.
The thing is, the Buddha is not
born.
He couldn't
understand when he was young. Why would anyone want to become a
Buddha? He says, is it
because he would think? Is it because he would get like everybody would bow to him?
ဘာဖျားဖြစ်နေလဲသူဖျားဖြစ်မှဒီချမ်းသာသူ့စီမှာရှိသူ information စပေးရ
He says only by becoming a Buddha he would have that opportunity like the Buddha would have that opportunity to give this information to people
Can we get one more
Okay
how are we doing on time what time should we wrap up
Usually we go an hour and a half
Okay that's what I was aiming toward because he's
We usually get tired by then.
Okay. So, teachings are all about conventional truth, truth of concepts. And one way to say is the mind is arising fresh, especially vijnana, arising fresh every moment. But another way to conceptualize might be that there is a, let's just say, field, for want of a better word, a pervasive field of mind potential. And every time an object arises, it is that field that does the knowing. Because knowing is always happening. This is not a Theravada concept.
I know. I recognize it.
I have found that in my own practice and in teaching to be a useful concept for some people to practice because it gives a sense of something to surrender to. And in some schools of Buddhism, it is considered to be an ultimate reality also. Has Sayadaw heard this at all in his teachings, and can he comment on any usefulness he sees?
I just want to reiterate something you said. A field of potential.
Yeah, let's call it mind potential.
Mind potential.
That is capable of knowing.
And as objects...
As objects enter, they are known
No,
by that.
No, because there is this potential.
Yes.
Present.
It explains why knowing is always happening.
Right. Do I go ahead? Theravada Marodi Luma Pyogame. စိတ်ကအမြဲပေါ်နေတယ်လို့ပြောရင်လည်းရတာဒါထင်ရပါလို့ပြောတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့နောက်တစ်ကြောင်းမှဘယ်လိုပြောလဲဆိုတော့ဒီလိုစဉ်းစားရတယ် ရှုွက်တခုရှိတယ်အဲ့ရှုွက်ထဲမှာ the potential ရှိတယ်အဲ့ potential ကဘာလဲဆိုတော့ tinanya potential shit. Raja, I only porai porai tipi dapat.
Oh. Yeah.
ดาวอะไรเนี่ยติ่งไหนล่ะเนี่ยตุ๊ดบาวอ่ะโอเคนะติ่งบาวอ่ะโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเคโอเ ဘာဖြစ်လို့လဲဆိုတော့သူကဒီလိုမျိုးနေရာကိုနည်းနည်း surrender လုပ်လိုက်လို့ရငါကြီးကိုနည်းနည်းငါလုပ်တဲ့အောင်နည်းနည်း short လိုက်လို့ရဒီမှာတီးလို့ရတဲ့သဘောကရှိ
တယ် yes
ရှိတယ်သူကပေးထားလိုက်သူက for time တိမယ
် yes
အဲ့ဒါဦးစရာဒီဟာကို
အခုတ
ော့ဖြစ်တယ်
ပြောတယ်ဒါတုံးတယ်
he teaches this model
လို့တန်းလာရပ်လိုက်လို့ပြောတာလုံးချက်ကြည့်သူမှ potential ရှိပြီးသား
he tells yogis especially for those who do a lot of striving he tells them stop don't try to know anything he says can you notice the knowing is still happening
you know potential
the moment he calls it momentum it's running it's doing its own work
တဘာဝကသူ့လုပ်သူ့လုပ်ပြီးသားသူ့လုပ်ပ
ါ he says nature is already doing its own work
အဲ့ပြောလို့ရတယ
်
လူတွေအဲ့သူ့တဘာဝနေရာကိုကအတွေး idea ဝင်ရှုပ
် he says nature is doing its own work but what people do is come in with their ideas and interfere with nature's work
ဒီလိုဖြစ်ချင်ဟိုလိုဖြစ်ချင်တယ်ဟိုလိုဖြစ်ရမယ် should be like they must be like
you say nature Mahayana they call it Buddha nature is this something that you talk about that concept
Buddha nature ဆိုတာတိတော့ပြောတာ
This is when they talk about Buddha nature
understanding of Buddha ကိုပါဠိလိုအဓိပ္ပာယ်ဖွင့်တာအများကြီးပဲပညာလို့ဖွင့်တယ်
the word Buddha is defined in many ways in Pali and it's defined as panya as wisdom so is the ability to know or understand that is considered
Buddhi jaya ဆိုတာရှိတယ် characteristic of Buddhi ဆိုတာရှိတယ
် Buddhi jaya six kind of characters or six
Buddhi jaya ဆိုတာရှိတ
ယ် personalities
Buddha jaya Buddhi jaya ဆရာ6မျိုးရှိတယ်6မျိုးရှိတယ
်
ဘုဒ္ဓဆရာတော်ရှိတယ်
there is six kind of personalities enumerated in one kind of volume in Buddhism and in Theravada maybe and in these six kinds of natures there's one called
Bodhi
nature but only the Buddha has that nature
so we don't have that nature
Bodhi ဆရာကဒီမှာရှိဖျားမှာဘုဒ္ဓဆရာရှိတယ်
ဟုတ်ပါဦးတိတဲ့သဘောကိုပြောတယ်ဉာဏ်ကိုဗုဒ္ဓဆရာဉာဏ်ကိုခွဲခြားသိပြတယ်လို့ဗုဒ္ဓဆရာရှိတယ်ပြောတာ
အဲ့ဒါပညာဆ
ရာဗုဒ္ဓဆရာလို့တုံးတယ်ပညာကိုလည်းဗုဒ္ဓလို့တုံးတယ
်ဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့ဆောင်ထက်မှာသူကဖျားကိုဗုဒ္ဓဆရာကိုရှိတယ်အဲ့
ဒါတော့လှပြီးတော့ဟုတ်ပါတော့ဒါတော့ဗုဒ္ဓကိုပညာကိုတုံးတယ
် he likes to think of it as the this body nature as the ability of the mind to discern and understand and he believes that everybody has
so for a yogi that's not a striving you know sort of super striving type of personality would you offer the same approach that Guy was speaking of or what would you how would you what would you suggest
so a yogi เนี่ยအဲ့လိုမျိုး調査နေတယ်ဟိုလုံးနေတဲ့ဟာဟိုဦးဇင်းကရက်လို့ပြောဖို့မလိုဘူးသူကပုံမှန်လေးလုံးနေတဲ့ယောဂီကိုသူပြောသူပြင်ပေးလာတယ်
A lazy type yogi.
Moi,
pire yogi.
Hello, yogi. He said it has to be alive, so, you know, different yogis might need different
things. We don't have no formula.
No, right. Of course, it's individual.
Formula, I'm gone.
When you respond...
Everybody, the one formula, chap, yeah.
If you have to give the same formula to everybody,
that's impossible. Yeah, that's no way.
Striving
yogi. Yeah, yogi, change, keep your adjust low.
No, I mean, when he says stop trying, it's usually for people who've been
super.
Yeah, then they realize no need too much effort.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But he does explain this to everybody. But some people are not able to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
ဒါကြောင့်အိဆမ်ဘာပြတာပေါ့ဘာမှမလုပ်ဒီတိုင်းနေထိုင်နေဘယ်တော့အားဆိုင်ရလဲဥစဉ်တမတက်တဲ့အိဆမ်ဘာနဲ့ပြ
That's why he also tries to give you know take people through these examples you know he says oh just sit there watch yourself don't tell anything what do you notice
အဲ့လူတိုင်းလုပ်တိုင်းနေ
အဲ့လူတိုင်းတူ
တူတ do the whole body, or the love will attend.
Then they understand, oh, this is all the energy that's needed, just this much.
Oh, you know, 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 you know.
He says he didn't know this when he was young. That's why he practiced very intensely when he was young. Now he sees the yogis and he feels compassion for them. At the center he walks around the Dharma hall, looks at the yogis.
Their face, wholesome face or unwholesome face. Some people are black, red.
He always threatens to take pictures of the yogis. He says then they will see themselves. Well, it's important for the yogi to recognize. But at that time when they're in the meditation, they're so involved they don't recognize what's happening. He says he often points out that, you know, the yogis go around being so mindful all day. And all day your eyes are open, but they never notice that they're seeing. They don't even know that they're seeing.
Morning, wake up, you open the eye, you can see this object so obvious, but you not recognize this object.
Yeah.
It is so
strange.
Amazing.
Because they're so involved in looking at the body. He says if they wouldn't target anything and just be watching, they won't notice these objects that are there. He says, this is such an obvious object. He says, you know, like when yogis say they have a lot of discursive of thinking and all, he says, just open your eyes.
Immediately the mind becomes temporary at that moment. Because this object is obvious, boom. The mind is aware of this object. Then the daydream may stop. Okay.
He says, you really would like to encourage all of you to teach your students to practice seeing meditation. to practice and, you know, actually purposely practice being aware of seeing and looking.
In their center, they
and
never look like this. And go out, looking, finish, every time is gone. Because they are not skillful. How to aware of their size? Okay.